This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the King Chasing Podcast as we continue our summer series on mission trips taken by student athletes at NCCAA institutions. Before we continue to dive into the podcast, if you've missed any past episodes of the King Chasing Podcast, head to the NCCAA.org/podcast. The NCCAA YouTube channel on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search up the King Chasing Podcast. And if you're looking for just the episodes from this summer series, there's a special playlist of this summer series and every single episode on the NCCAA YouTube channel. Today we're joined by Hope Brooks, a senior women's volleyball player, Abby Matney, a senior women's basketball player, and a head women's volleyball coach for Pensacola Christian College, Ryan Vanderbow, as they talk about their trip to the Philippines. During their time in the Philippines, the trio helped with sports camps for children in the area, along with assisting with nursing clinics for those in need while sharing the gospel. Thank you so much for tuning in to the King Chasing Podcast. Without further ado, let's take it to this newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the King Chasing Podcast, continuing our summer series on mission trips. And we have a trio of athletes and a coach, even from Pensacola Christian College, as we join Hope Brooks, Abby Matney, and Ryan Vanderbow. And thank you all for just joining me to talk about your experience serving over in the Philippines.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. We're excited.
And so we'll just kind of dive right into it. Ryan, it seems like you were kind of one of the leaders on this trip. How did you kind of set up this mission trip? And then how did you introduce it? And, you know, Abby and Hope, how did you find out about this trip and decide you wanted to go on this trip over the summer?
Yeah, so I guess kind of setting that up, this last year was my first year at PCC. Being back, I graduated from here in 2008 and played basketball here. And then coming back as the volleyball coach, last April before I came on staff, my wife and I went and visited a missionary couple, Tom and Jen Beeman, and their three children. Just as a couple, we wanted to go see them because we supported them for quite a while. And so while we were there, not knowing what I was going to be doing this next year, I was like, man, this would be an amazing place to take a team. It just seemed like a really good island and a good place to be able to, I guess, expose young people to missions and a great place for that. So as we started talking about that and then things started opening up here, my wife's a nurse practitioner, and obviously I'm big into the sports scene. So we started talking, man, it'd be a great opportunity to kind of take a medical and sports missions trip to the Philippines. And so as they were talking about hiring me, one of the things that I said multiple times is, can we help lead a missions trip? Can we take some students? And they were like, yeah. So I think I asked them three times throughout that process, like, is it possible to be able to lead a missions trip that's really close to our heart? We love missions. And it just, they handed me the application to kind of go through all the different things that needed to be filled out and just start praying about it and trying to put our team together. So that's kind of how it all came about.
I first heard about the missions trip from Coach Vanderbow. It was during preseason of last year, and I had known him for like 1 or 2 weeks at this point, like barely knew him. And he started telling me about it, and I was like, immediately, yes. Like, I've been praying about going on a missions trip for a year now. So I was like, yes, I'm so excited. And I remember we're going on a trip to Nashville, and I sat next to him on the bus, and we probably talked about it for like 2 hours. And I was so excited. And I remember I was like talking to people about it, like, let's go, let's go. So yeah, that's how I heard about the missions trip.
Yeah, he went to the volleyball team first, and I remember hearing about it, and I was like, we've been trying to, like, get our team to be able to go on, but it hadn't really worked out yet, and I'm on the basketball team, and me and my friend kind of went up to coach, and we're like, so, are you going to open it up to the basketball team? And once he ended up, like, figuring out numbers of it, he ended up opening it up to the basketball team, which was perfect, so I got to go, and then two of my other teammates, Skylin Boyd and Lydia Adams. And then we ended up opening it up to more nursing students, which was really cool too. So we got to have like 5 athletes, 5 nurses, which was a great team that the Lord just kind of opened the door for us to have.
That's awesome. And so we'll start with you, Hope. You get to the Philippines. And what ways were you both able to serve over the Philippines? Like you mentioned, it was like a sports trip and a nursing trip combined. What ways were y'all able to serve really on the sports side? And did y'all get into any of the nursing side on your own? Or was that more of a, you know, let the nurses kind of do their thing, sports kind of do their thing?
Yeah. So We actually had some cool opportunities that we were able to do when we were in the Philippines. I would say our two main things were tribal outreaches, and we did a basketball camp. So we kind of divided and conquered the nursing students and the athletes during this. So when we went out to the tribes, the nursing students put on a little clinic with the other nurses. And then we got to like go down and play sports with the kids, play volleyball with the kids. Yeah. So it was definitely divide and conquer. And then for our basketball camp, we kind of did similar where all the athletes were like helping with the little clinic, helping ref, helping keep score, doing all that type of stuff. And then the nursing students got to do some checkups of some of the parents or different people around that came to that.
Yeah, basically what Hope said, we went to this tribal outreach and the medical students got to set up in like this little church building. And we basically just like walked around the like tribal neighborhood with candies, and we like learned the Philippine word for it. And so we were walking around like, do you want some? And then like basically bribing these kids to come to this like dirt basketball court. And we had brought in like some basketballs and volleyballs, and they lit up when they saw the balls. They had a little, somehow they had had a made a dirt court and they didn't have any balls to play with. So they were ecstatic that we got to do that. And it was just a cool way to open up the door for us to give them the gospel and just get to connect with them.
Yeah. It's hard to visualize that whole scenario. So we hiked in, it took about 45 minutes to get into that first tribe, especially. And we used water buffalo, carabao. So there were carts. And we packed it with medical supplies and the balls and water and all that stuff. And so when we went in, once we got there, yeah, dirt court, the basketball hoops were attached to trees and they were using coconuts to shoot. Basketball is huge in the Philippines. And so when we came in with basketballs and volleyballs, it was kind of like, what? We get to play with an actual ball on a dirt court, you know? So we're thinking, this is awesome, you know, and the kids are thinking this is awesome because they get a real ball. And then we hiked all this stuff up on the side of the mountain. There were these steps, like these basically like homemade, handmade steps. And so we hiked all those supplies up into this church, and they set up camp up there. And we kind of, a couple of us walked through the village that's on the side of the mountain, and invited everybody to come to the clinic and come to the basketball clinic. And like she said, kind of bribing them with candies and stuff like that. So it was a really neat opportunity that, you know, it's a third world country. So it's very different than anything we would experience here. But that was pretty cool. We had to cross a river 6 times with the water buffalo. So, you know, it's a whole experience that like we didn't, even my wife and I, when we went, we didn't have that experience. So it was really neat that they got that opportunity to see a whole different way of life.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, Hope, I'll ask you this. So, like you said, there was a mixture of basketball, volleyball, and of course, some nursing students there. How was your team able to grow? Because again, different backgrounds, different sports. And of course, you have some people who do not even play sports on the campus going on this trip. How was your group able to kind of grow together leading up to the trip and on the trip, and, you know, kind of grow in Christ and kind of grow together, knowing that you have the same common goal, same common mission heading on this trip?
Yeah, so I got the opportunity to co with two of my teammates. So there were three of us, and actually we have 4 captains for this upcoming year, and it was 3 of them. Oh, so that was really cool opportunity for us to get to do that together. We're all incoming seniors, so some of my best friends since the moment we walked on campus. But it was just a total different atmosphere than we normally are in together. And there were some moments where we were scared. There were some moments we were a little intimidated by what we were about to do the next day. And just being able to like rally together, we actually got to sleep in a big bedroom. Us 6 were all together, and it was like a bunch of beds on the floor. So like at night, we'd all be like journaling and together and just talking about the way the Lord encouraged, like the Lord spoke to us that day and the things that encouraged us. And I think it was just a really cool opportunity to be able to do it together. On the flight home, we had a layover in Singapore, and it was a very long time. So we sat down, and us 5 were just sitting there, the volleyball players, the basketball players. And we were just talking about like what we wanted to bring to the team next year. And like, it's crazy how a missions trip where it had to do with basketball, but not really our team, but it just changes your outlook on so many of the ways that you want to go about life. So it was definitely super encouraging for me.
Yeah, so there was one other volleyball player that got to go on this trip with us. Her name's Anna Stevens, and she was like always one of those people that I was like kind of close with on the team, but never really hung out with outside. So it was really cool to like get to know her better and see a different side of her. Like we're all so pushed out of our comfort zones, like you just see a different side of everybody. So it was really good to get to know her on a deeper level, as well as the other three basketball players. I'm really close with Abby, but the other two girls, I felt like I got to know them so much deeper, and now it's like not just like a hey while we're in the workout room, but now I know them on a deep level. I can go up and talk to them, and it makes me want to go to their games and support them better. But as for the whole team, we only knew one of the nursing students going in, and then just being able to get to know them so good. Like there's a picture of us right before we got onto the first flight, and we were all like kind of sitting next to each other, like didn't even know each other that well. And then on the way back to just like having so much fun with them and just getting to know them so well. It was really cool to be able to bond as sports teams and then be able to bond as a team all together on the mission trip.
Awesome. So, kind of mentioned it a little bit, seeing the dirt court, seeing them playing, basketball at Coconuts, going across the river. But Hope, we'll start with you. What were some of the most more interesting or kind of eye-opening things you saw on on the mission trip?
Yeah, so like Coach said, it is a third world country. So much different stuff going on there. It's really cool to see their different culture. And it was really cool to see how basketball was so ingrained into their culture. And they all had on NBA jerseys like everywhere they go. And it was just so cool to see like how much they enjoy basketball as much as we do here in the States. Another thing that I also found that was really interesting, switching more towards like the mission side of it, was the missionaries had three daughters. They were amazing. And they were like half of their ministry. Like they were roping in all the kids. Like they would take the kids for like the Bible studies and they would teach them music. And they were just so patient in it. Like it would be so easy for them to go in and be like, oh, our parents are just making us come over here. But they were so involved in like I said, like literally half of the ministry. So I thought that that was really eye-opening to be like, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can still be so spiritually mature and help other people through that. So that was really eye-opening to me for the trip.
Yeah, like Hope said, the Beeman family has about two outreaches, I would say. One is more tribal and one is more in their neighborhood town. It was really cool that we got the opportunity to be on the main island of Manila, which trafficking is very common, and kids all over would be begging for money. And it was pretty obvious that they had been put with people that weren't their family to beg for money in these organizations. And then we got to travel to the island of Mindoro, which was even more eye-opening than I even realized we were going to experience. The tribes they had, the clothes they were wearing was the clothes were the clothes they had. It looked like the only way they really showered was in the rivers. Like they don't have, they would have one bedroom in these huts that they had built for themselves for like their whole family, their parents, grandparents, cousins, uncles. Like they would all fit in this small area. And just seeing like even the dishes they used to make their food, like it was just, it was heartbreaking. We went to right before we were, while we were waiting for our water buffalo on our first tribal outreach, one of the missionaries said to us, today you're going to see kids with lice, tuberculosis, and maybe even leprosy. And we all kind of looked around like, that's still a thing? Like, what are we? And we were a little nervous going into it. And she brought up 2 Samuel 24, 24, which is David just saying that he doesn't want to give to the Lord what costs him nothing. Like, everything, the love of Jesus is the biggest form of sacrifice that we can give. And he showed that on the cross. And I think it was a really good eye-opening thing that we got to see going into it. Yeah, there were kids coming up to us that you could see the lice in their hair, coming up to hug you, coming up to just talk to you. And we could have tried to keep our distance, but I think just being able to just put those worries aside and just know that we were going to do what we could and be the hands and feet of Jesus, and just the Lord would protect us. And then also the neighborhood that we did our basketball camp in was in a red light district, and we weren't very familiar with what that was at the time. But without going into detail, it was heartbreaking after making relationships with these kids and the young girls and just realizing the things that they see as normal is something that should never be tolerated anywhere in this world. And seeing that it's something that's even protected is heartbreaking, for sure. And it was just definitely something that breaks your heart, but you just do what you can and pray that the Lord and will do the rest.
Yeah, I think one of the things about that is, what these missionaries are doing and what we were able to help them accomplish in that 8 days is they're really on rescue missions. They're really trying to win people to Christ. They've had, I believe it's 10 baptisms in the last 3 months of people that have really trusted Christ, and they're coming and saying, "Look, I want to follow him," because it's a very strong Catholic background right now in that specific portion of the Philippines. And so, what they're doing is really developing relationships with people and then really talking to them so they understand exactly what Christ did for them and exactly why they need him as their savior. So it's a great ministry that we were able to be a part of and see that. And it's very heartbreaking. You think Manila, you go into Manila and you're kind of like, this isn't that bad. We stayed in the 29th floor of a 31 floor high rise, and and then you go to Mindoro and you're like, wow, this is like, these and everybody needs the Lord, but you think, wow, they really need just maybe that freedom and that liberty that Christ can give. And it's, I guess maybe that's exposed a little bit more when you go to a place like that.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan, we'll start with you and just kind of circle around. What is one thing you think God taught or how he showed kind of his glory and his grace on this trip?
Definitely, I'm the girls know I'm a big softie, so I'll try not to cry when I talk about this. But really, just the trusting the Lord as you walk with Him. So it was a very. I was in Wilson, North Carolina, for 16 years as a school administrator, and taught school, and we loved Wilson and thought we'd spend the rest of our lives there. And when we started realizing that the Lord was doing something else in our lives, it was kind of like, really, Lord, are you sure? But as we stepped out, we've kind of said, kind of like Abraham in Hebrews, where he went out not knowing where he was going. That was kind of us coming here. And to see that, like, as you trust the Lord and as you walk with him and really just seek out what he wants for you, and then on the other side where you're like, wow, you're reaping the benefits of him being able to use you. Like, who am I, right? Who am I to for him to be able to use me and to be able to, but to see that, like, maybe for some short time, we were able to impact these 10 girls and what they were able to do. And Coach Lewis, Craig Lewis, was another one of the leaders, and he was one of my coaches in college here, and he came on the trip. And so, like, who are we to be able to invest in these young people for such a time as this? But they're the next generation. And so I think that's the thing that the Lord taught me the most is, like, maybe, I was kind of in my uncomfort, a little bit out of my comfort zone when we were there as well. Like, hearing about these things, I was like, whoa, we didn't experience this the first time I was there. But also seeing that, like, the Lord used these girls for his glory. So it's just, that's something he taught me is, like, if you give him everything you have, then he's going to be able to use it. And who are we that he can use us? But he will.
Yeah, so like what I said before, we were standing going into the waiting for our caribou to pick us up to go through these rivers. We had just found out about what we were about to go see. And I don't think any of us really knew what we were going to experience on this missions trip. And so it definitely took us off guard a little bit. We were kind of worried. What are we, how are we going to go about this? How are we going to be able to pray with these kids and be able to be an encouragement to these kids, but also, like, be safe? And it kind of, when she brought up that verse and just said, also, so Tagalog is the language
I
there.
was going to say, bring it
Yes,
up.
yes.
Go ahead.
Tagalog is the main language there, and the word mahal, it means love. And she said, it doesn't just mean love, it means expensive. And how cool is it that the love of Jesus is expensive, but it's the same word, and it's a cool way to just something that I'll remember forever, because the love of Jesus at times is costly, and it should be. And going to those tribes was exhausting. We only had so much water. It was so hot, and we were just hiking in the sun and seeing that these kids, what they go through, it was challenging at times. And especially when we were working those basketball camps in those normal neighborhoods, we were spending almost every day with their normal church kids. And even just like walking to the basketball camp that we had, we would walk through their houses, and they were things that you could never even imagine these kids coming from. And you just grow to love them. And just seeing the way that they live is definitely an outlook that changes your perspective on a lot of things. But I think what encouraged me the most was seeing the way the missionaries, their family, the Beamans, that they just do show the love of Jesus. There's been so many stories that could be reasons that if I was doing that, it would be very hard for me to keep my family serving in a country that is unsafe. And a lot of times, especially with their three young girls, they've been put in a lot of situations that cannot be what they would maybe want their children growing up in. But seeing the way that they see those little victories as just they just hold on to those, and they use those as motivation to just hold on to the next day. And just the impact that they are having on these people is something that they probably don't even understand, but we could see it from miles away. There was the first night we had a Bible study, there was a little girl who brought her mom for the first time, and she was coming for a little bit of counseling with the Mrs. Beeman. And the second she goes outside to have their conversation, the youngest Beeman daughter just comes in. She's tears in her eyes, and she just grabs us and says, "Let's pray." And just seeing the way that their family has handled this and just has just been such a light for the Lord has definitely been an encouragement for me, because yes, they're in ministry and yes, they're in missions, but that's something that we should be doing every day. And it's not that you need to be on a mission field, because we're in a mission field every day. And so it definitely changed the way that I want to share Jesus through my everyday life.
Yeah, to echo Abby a little bit, that was one of the biggest things that the Lord showed to me through this mission trip, was just to love like him and like pray to love like him and strive to love like him. Like, I've been praying that prayer every single day since we got back from there, from the Philippines. And it's just so cool to see how like the Lord will give you opportunities if you pray for it. Another thing that the Lord taught me was to always ask for his help in everything I'm doing, and not just the things I think I cannot do in my own strength. The first night we were there, we were talking about going to the tribe the next day, and the Beamans started talking to us, and we're like, yeah, there might be some witchcraft there. Like, really make sure you're praying, like, make sure you're good. And I found myself just like praying and praying, like, Lord, like, please be with me through this. Like, I've never encountered anything like this. Like, made me really nervous. But then I was thinking, like, as we were m making our, trek out to that first tribe, like, why do I not do this with every step in my life? Why am I not asking him for help for every day for the small things? Like, just because I think I can do it in my own strength, like, why am I only using God when I think I need him, and not like just to help me through everything? So that was definitely another big thing that the Lord taught me. And then a third thing that he taught me was just, it was more of like a reminder just to like, our joy does not come from our stuff. Like, the amount of joy these kids had, and we saw their homes, we saw what they had. And especially when we went into the second tribe, like, they were just so joyful. We were jump roping with them, we were on a little swing with them. They're just so happy. And we like gave them all little PCC shirts to get, and they were just like in awe. Like, it was just so cool. Like, they don't have much, but they just are so joyful. And that was just such a good reminder to be like, oh, because something's not going very good in my life, like, I'm not happy. Like, that's not where the source of my joy come from. The source of my joy comes from the Lord.
Amazing. And so, yeah, you both kind of mentioned it, and you mentioned it as well, Ryan, but Star of You, Hope, and Abby, how's this mission trip kind of made you think about how you can serve back on your campus when you return to campus or back in your hometowns? And then Ryan, with you, how does it make you feel like how you kind of mentioned again, how you can serve your team better and your campus better as a coach?
Yeah, one of the things that the missionaries said was that they were like, the last night there that we were there, they were saying to us, like, you go home and you're at a mission field too. This is not the only mission field. Like, at home is your biggest mission field, and that's where you need to reach people. And they were telling us, like, you go into the grocery store, you be praying. Okay, who do I need to speak to? Who do I need to pray for? And that was just such a big encouragement, just to remember that I'm coming back to a missions field in my hometown or back on my campus, even though it's a Christian college, like there's still people that need to be prayed for there. And just knowing like wherever we go, we are in a missions field. And it's not just, we don't have to go all the way overseas to the Philippines to be able to mission, to be able to pray for people. Like we can do that right in our hometown. We can do that right where we go to college. We can do that when we're on sports trips. And just such a good reminder that we need to be serving the Lord wherever we are and praying for people wherever we go.
Yeah, the Beeman's oldest daughter is actually going to be coming to school at PCC in a year or two. And there was one night that there was something said that really stirred her up, and she was having a really hard time with something that a person, a Philippine girls had said to her. And she ended up opening up to our team about how hard that was for her and how hard it is for her to stand up for her faith at such a young age when the culture around her is not that in any way. And we all kind of sat there and just poured into how cool it is to see the way that she has such a strong hold on her faith. The Mrs. Beeman said every Tuesday they make sure it's a family day. They do something as a family to keep the kids on the mission field. And something they always do on Tuesday nights is to do a why to their faith. So they pick something and then they study it as a family and like, this is why we believe this. And I was sitting there hearing them talk about this and I was like, well, I want my family, my in the future to be challenged in this way. I want my daughters to be able to explain why they believe what they believe as strong as these kids do. And that's something that I don't think I could do at that age. And I almost caught myself thinking, well, does that mean I need to be in this scenario for my kids to believe that? Like, no, it's how you do it. And it's not like, how can you expect to be used in on missions field on a mission field if you're not in the mission field using it to the best that you can right now? And that was something that we were talking about on our trip home. Like, how can we as a team support each other to be the best versions of sharing Christ that we can be? How can I be the light of Jesus that I need to be on my team, on my campus? And it's so cool that we get to do that together. Like, Hope's one of my best friends in the world, and we like are going to be able to like, hey, like call each other out on things and just be able to find ways to just share the light of Jesus. We were in Manila. We had already left Mindoro, and when we left, the missionary family was coming with us back to the States for their furlough. And me and Hope were in a taxi, they call it grabs there. And the pastor, Mr. Beeman, was in the front, and every grab we got in, he just small talked his way into the gospel. And it was just so encouraging to see the way that they are mission field is not just a church on a Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle. And I think that's something that I want to be. I just want it to be the way I live, the way I talk in every conversation with everyone I'm with. And yeah.
As a college coach, especially over there, I didn't really realize it until I was over there, but as we were doing these basketball clinics, they'd say like, he's a coach in the United States, and I was like, whoa, and I'm sitting there like, I'm a nobody. But when you are a college coach, you have I guess a little bit more impact or influence or whatever. And so here at Pensacola Christian, they have a like a chapel service that's dedicated to these missions trips of where all the students went. So one of the things that I brought back is, wow, I want to do this for people every year. I want to be able to take as long as I can, as long as the Lord allow me to be able to take students to this mission field to be able to see it in a whole different light. And to use that, I guess, really challenging these girls that they have a platform as a college athlete and don't just waste it. Don't waste that time on just a sport. These sports are avenues and they're great opportunities for us to be able to share Christ. And so, whether we're on a road trip or whether we're here on campus, what kind of a light, what kind of a person are we going to be? Are we going to be the right kind of person that is a leader? You can be a leader on this campus. And so really trying to drive that home. That was kind of one of the things that I said last year is, I want to create a culture for our team where, I'm recruiting people that are not just good athletes, but they really want to follow after the Lord. And so I feel like we've we've really got a team that's doing that, and we want to keep that spreading. And so it's fun hearing these basketball girls over here saying, like, man, this is awesome. Let's keep doing this for our team. And those nursing majors have, like, this was a mind-blowing experience. And actually, some of those nursing majors have, like, we can talk to the athletes, like, they're okay to talk to them. I'm like, yeah, we're just normal people. We just happen to play a sport and, coach it. So that was a really neat opportunity as well. But to use that platform that God's given you to be able to, share what you can. And yeah, for me, I want to be able to do this every year I possibly can.
Awesome. And so, yeah, no, it sounds like it was a fantastic trip. Sounds like it was definitely life-changing for sure, not just for the people in the Philippines, but for y'all as well. Ron, I'll ask you this. Is there any organizations you helped with? Again, you had the Beeman family there. Any ways, other than prayer, of course, that anyone back in the United States says, hey, I can't go on this trip, but I'd like to support them in some way?
Yeah, so one of the things that I can't think of any specific other than the NCCAA. Like, I want to thank them because they are able to help, some of these college athletes to be able to go. And so I think it's if anybody's listening or watching, like, we have, it's called Youth Outreach Ministry through PCC here that we go through. And so I think there were 10 missions trips that went out to Europe and to Australia and, like, all these different places. And so the money that's given by the NCCAA or by the people that go to these trips, it's not wasted money. God takes that and multiplies it. And so I think that's the neat thing to see is that when we give to missions, I had people say, hey, look, I can't go. I wish I could, but here, use this towards your team. And, like, that means so much. It's just that little extra boost to us that are on that trip of, like, there's people that really care about the things that we're doing, and maybe they can't go, but we can help be the hands and feet of Jesus for them as well. So it's not wasted money. And so Youth Outreach Ministry, I appreciate them allowing us to do this. And then the NCCAA for sure of giving towards some of these athletes to be able to go.
Awesome, well, y'all. Thank you so much again for joining me today. Thank you for sharing this experience, and we'll be praying for y'all as well as you get ready to hop back in to enjoy your summer and get back on the campus soon.
Here we go.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you once again to Hope, Abby, and Ryan for sharing about their time in the Philippines and all that they saw and did to help out children in need while sharing the gospel overseas. For those wanting to learn more about Youth Outreach Ministry, which is a ministry on the campus of Pensacola Christian College, you can head over to youthoutreachministry.com for more details. And of course, for those who want to donate to the NCCAA to help support the mission of keeping Christ at the center of intercollegiate athletics, including helping out with mission trip funding, you can head over to thenccaa.org/donate. That's going to do it for us on this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. But hey, don't forget, listen to past episodes at thenccaa.org/podcast on our YouTube channel and, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. The King Chasing Podcast is there. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the King Chasing Podcast.